Last Sunday, I was very intrigued by Kata's message about the great unseen and the call that she issued to us to awaken and to help give birth to something new in the world. I was particularly struck by her question, what is essential? What is essential as we move forward together in this changing time? Well, all of us are going to get to help or respond to that question of what is essential because our Poochie Pittsfield UCC Initiative team, made up of members from both South and First, have been working hard with our consultant, Claire Bamberg, and they're going to be working on creating a survey to come out to everybody that will help us explore the many dimensions of what we feel is essential, what is important, as we consider together this weaving, this reweaving together of our two congregations into one, to give birth to something new in Pittsfield, in the Berkshires, at this time. The survey, if I understand it right, should be coming out sometime in August to a mailbox near you, either electronically or physically. And in reply to that, I thought I would help prime the pump, plant a few seeds around this question of what is essential. And our readings this morning from Genesis and Matthew can assist us in that task. So we begin with Jacob at the well, doing something heroic. The heroic Jacob on a search, a love search for his beloved Rachel, he turns out. He sees her for the first time and he's completely smitten by her. And he single-handedly rolls away the giant stone that requires all the guys to do it. He just does it. Boom. And then he introduces himself to Rachel and says, I'm part of the larger extended family. Rachel goes and gets Laban, Jacob's uncle. Laban comes. There's tears. There's kisses everywhere. If you just read this story, it's one big happy family, and it's beautiful, and it actually is beautiful. I loved listening how Chris read it. It just was very tender. So the tenderness is in there. But then there's these other threads, you know, it's kind of centered around the hero Jacob. And so even in the story, you can feel a little mixed, but because who doesn't love a hero story? A knight in shining armor who arrives to vanquish all problems, to roll away the giant stones. Isn't it just wonderful? But if you read chapter 28 or read on in chapter 29, you realize this is not the hero story. That's not what's going on here. When you read the whole Jacob saga that goes on for a number of chapters, the words that come to mind are trickery, lies, deceit, deception, from Jacob, from Laban. Rachel gets into it a little bit. Jacob's mother, Rebecca, has gotten into it before. At some point in this story, everybody seems to trick somebody, which makes for a very entertaining saga. It's like a big soap opera, which is very, you know, very popular medium, but it's less than inspiring. And the question comes, given our context this morning, what is essential in this story? What is essential in this story? Well, that takes us back to the well itself. Jacob may roll the giant stone away from the well, but does Jacob or anybody actually drink from the well? Not just the physical well, but what the well represents, the deeper things, the deeper realities of life. Things like listening, trusting, the unseen that Kata was talking about, the depths, opening their hearts to something more. Because when you read the story, for the most part, Jacob and Laban in particular, being the great patriarchs that they are very, very much invested in the image they present. And then behind that image, they're busy scheming. Their scheming selves are at work, trying to control, trying to dominate, trying to outwit everybody. And you read through the story and just wonder, well, is that all there is to this story? And the answer would be almost, that's about all there is, except there's one point in the story when Jacob has a dream. He has a dream of a ladder extending to heaven and back to earth with angels going up and down. He wakes up in the morning and realizes God is here. He sanctifies the place. God was here and I did not know it. If only he had done that more often. But there it was, at least once. He has a dream. He goes to a deep place. He drinks from the well and realizes there's a sacredness to life that he had not even imagined. And then there's the other story, which I think you'll hear next week, about Jacob wrestling with the angel, wrestling with God, who wounds Jacob, who leaves him broken, and yet blesses Jacob and enables Jacob to become a blessing in spite of all the scheming and all the rest. Those are the moments in this large saga where Jacob drinks from the well, when he goes beneath the surface, when he listens, when he trusts, when he opens himself, when he lets go of what you could call the family story, the family story that just goes around in circles and circles and circles, which symbolizes all of our family stories, the human family story, where we just keep going around in circles. And yet here for a few moments, someone drinks more deeply and a deeper story appears. And that is what enables the growth of the people of God so that they can move forward in this larger saga, which continues down to our present day. And so what our Poochie team is hoping through this survey is that each of us will receive it as an invitation, not just to put down what we think, but to drink from the well of living water. To let the questions take us beneath the surface, to listen, to trust, to open our hearts, to let go of some of the family stuff that gets going in our head, whatever that family stuff might be, all the stuff that we human beings stuff our heads full of to avoid going deeper. Well, the survey isn't just to add to that clutter. The survey is an invitation to listen, to open, to respond from some larger place, so that the Spirit can move us forward as the people of God, so that we can be a blessing to the world. That's the whole point. That is what is essential. So if all goes well, somewhere down the road, we together will give birth to a new congregation. And the question immediately comes, well, what will that look like? Another way to put it is, what would be essential? What would be essential to that congregation's identity? Well, Jesus gives us some clues for what we're looking for in his parables. I'm just going to focus on the mustard seed parable, but you could do this with all of them. But in the mustard seed parable, Jesus tells the listeners that the realm of God, the earthly manifestation of the divine presence, is like a tiny seed, the tiniest of seeds. And that seed grows, it grows, it grows, and it becomes a big shrub. One scholar said that when you look into it, what Jesus would have been communicating in the word there, what people would have gotten in their minds is a shrub, a mustard plant, that was about 7 to 8 feet tall, a scraggly shrub about the size of a man sitting on a horse, about his eyesight. That's what the realm of God, the earthly manifestation of the divine, looks like. So if you take that in for a moment, you can imagine the whole crowd just kind of chuckling, laughing at sort of the comic image. The realm of God, the divine manifestation, ought to be something momentous. It's a scraggly plant? If you think about the hearers for a moment, You know, if the realm of the holy is coming into the world, well, then it ought to be like the cedars of Lebanon. Something huge, something magisterial, something impressive, even greater than the great temple in Jerusalem. Something for all to see. And instead, Jesus says, it's a shrub. Rather underwhelming. So what's that all about? Well, the clue, Jesus doesn't give a lot of clues, but he usually gives at least one. The one he gives here is he says, and the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. It may only be 7 or 8 feet tall, it may be scraggly, but the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. So what Jesus is saying is that the realm of heaven, the image for that, is not majesty, not something majestic. What's essential is the making of space. Making of space for life, real life, to be sheltered, for life to grow, for life to go forth and fly and be a blessing in the world. What Jesus is saying is that religion, this human enterprise that human beings do all over the earth, religion and the institutions we create, we kind of like the hero story. We kind of like the majestic story. We always want religion to be large, big, majestic, big buildings, big temples, big cathedrals. And Jesus is simply saying in very subtle, not so subtle, underwhelming ways, folks, none of that is essential. That's not the essential stuff, none of that. What is essential is your identity. Your identity is to plant seeds, to grow seeds, to grow spaces, spaces that nourish life in all the dimensions that life can be nourished. Your identity is to nourish life for the sake of mending the world, of tending souls, for the growth of the people of God as we seek to serve and heal and transform. That is what is essential. And that is what the identity of whatever we call this new church should be, that tiny seed that makes space. It may end up being scraggly, but if it makes space, it's holy and sacred. And so may we together plant those seeds as we do the surveys, as we continue discussions, as we deepen and listen and trust and make space within ourselves and among ourselves so that something new might be born in our midst, something that can be a blessing for the world. Amen.